The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And I have in studio with me my good friend and colleague, all the way from Dubai, back to the studios of CNC3, my good partner upstairs on the fourth floor, Ryan Bechu, is in studio with me. Good afternoon, Ryan. Welcome back to... Well, I shouldn't say welcome back. He come back long time, eh? But just now I was talking to Dr. Brittany Dean about your travels and stuff like that, as she's going out to represent us in Trinidad, Miss Super National, which is a big thing, like the Miss Universe.
Right.
Pull the mic a little closer to you.
Right. Yeah, good afternoon to you, David. Yeah. Good afternoon to all of your viewers as well.
You know, and I told her about your travels, because I'm thinking, you know, we're joking around that, you know, they should send David to Poland to cover this event and we do some capsule reports.
Right.
As how Ryan went to Dubai. And she's like, what? I said, yes, kid. The man was in Dubai. Ryan, we're going to be talking cricket here, of course. Philip Wallace, former Barbados captain and West Indies Open batter, is going to be chatting with us this afternoon. He's already on the line with us as we get set to kick off the T20 cricket that's happening on June 1st to the 29th. So for the entire month of June, it's all about T20 cricket, ICC, which is the international, as you know. So we got to say good afternoon to you, Mr. Philo. How are you? It's as high as a mountain. All right. My bad. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
We are good. Davey here with Ryan Bechu, one of our renowned journalists here at CNC3 and the TBC Radio Network. Good afternoon to you. We talking cricket. Now, I am a fella, I'll be very frank. You know, I hold back no punches. You know, I just... And when it comes to the world of cricket, I love my T20. But when it comes to West Indies cricket, for some reason, my enthusiasm goes down a little bit, and, you know, I become a pessimist. You know, I don't have any optimism when it comes to that. So I had to call in reinforcements with me this afternoon to help me along with this interview. And I brought in Ryan. Ryan is here with me, and, I mean, I'm excited for the month of June. I know we're going to be playing some matches in the U.S., and some here in Trinidad and Tobago. Well, I don't know if it's in Trinidad. We're playing in Trinidad, in the Caribbean as well, parts of the Caribbean. So, I mean, Ryan... Let's bring in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, this is an exciting time. I think you're not isolated, though, and I think Philo might agree with me here. There are a lot of West Indies fans, even those who don't religiously follow the game, because the team is ranked, like 7th in T20 internationals, 8th in one days, you know, 10th in tests or whatever. Mm-hmm. I might have mixed up a couple of them, but because the team is so lowly ranked in some of these formats, in all of these formats, really, a lot of disinterest. And that's the thing about sport, right? The more you win, the more fans you have.
Right.
But I do think, and I was, it's funny you should say that, because this morning we were having a conversation in the newsroom, and I was telling them that, you know, I'm really backing the West Indies, you know, to try to get to the semifinals or the final. And I don't say that because it's a nice thing to say, but I really hope that this tournament can reinvigorate some level of interest and support behind the regional team. We won't get another opportunity like this for a little while. And I'm really hoping that it's being played in the Caribbean and the mm-hmm. United States. And I'm really hoping that the boys can really do well. I think, you know, even if we don't win the tournament, if the Caribbean public sees performances mm-hmm. that they're proud of, mm-hmm. it's going to reinvigorate some interest. I'm not sure, Philo, if you agree with me.
Yes, right. I agree with everything that you said. Obviously, the T20 World Cup 2024 that's being held played in the Caribbean and in the USA is the biggest T20 tournament in the world. Some 20 teams, and it's going to call for a lot of coordination. It's going to call for a lot of hard work. Obviously, Cricket West Indies have announced their squad. The head coach Darren Sammy and Lee Sinetta, Dr. Demos Ramadesnayers, have done that there last week, and they pick a squad, I believe, that can win the World Cup. Obviously, they pick squads, and we are not really happy with who they select. There's always a discussion around one or two players. But I'm obviously saying this squad has been one that has been working on for the last 2 years, or just over 2 years, to prepare them for this competition, which bowls off on June 1st. And the finals, as we all know, will be at Kensington Oval in Barbados on June 29th. So we are hoping that this T20 cricket, this massive T20 World Cup cricket, will bring not only a lot of economic benefit in the region, but it will bring more awareness to cricket, particularly in the U.S. of A., where I think, obviously, it's starting to grow and grow at a fast pace. And I hope that in the Caribbean, that we can really reap benefits, some massive benefits coming out of this T20 World Cup. And obviously, we know what the U.S. holds. The West Indies also is supposed to be involved in cricket in the U.S. here for the growth of cricket there. So I think that with the two markets, I hope that they can come together as one and we can really see some fruits from all the hard work that has been put in to getting this World Cup and getting the stadiums ready for the World Cup. Obviously, we know that they had to redo most of the stadiums in the Caribbean. They had to build stadiums from scratch in the USA. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a massive undertaking. And we do hope, and I hope, that this T20 World Cup 2024 will be a massive success for the USA and for West Indies and beneficial across all factors.
Yeah, I think fellow, you make very good points infrastructurally. But I do want to ask you, on the field of play itself, Vaid, with the squad that has been chosen to represent the West Indies team at this World Cup, is this the best squad that we could pick?
Well, Rev, you always say this is the best squad, but I think that someone like Kyle Mirto has been in that squad up to a few months ago, should have been selected for the T20 World Cup. I don't believe that Shimron Hetmar should have been selected. I think that he has shown scant disrespect for cricket. He obviously has shown disrespect to himself as well. The indiscipline in not trying to even get fit. And been in the IPL for a number of years, we expect him to be a bit more productive. And I'm very disappointed with that he has carried himself. And I think Cricket West Indies need to be a lot firmer with these cricketers and let them know the true position of selection and not a guy miss out today and he can come back tomorrow. Because there are other people who are working hard to get into a West Indies squad. So, and these guys are just shifting when they want and coming back when they want and they're being selected. And I don't think it is right. So, but the squad has been selected. I support West Indies cricket right down to the last knuckle on my fingers. Mm. And I do hope that they can lift
I'm
the trophy.
I'm with you, fellow.
But at the same time, they need to be fairness and balance in selection.
Hold on, fellow. I have to pick you up on this one because I feel, and I'm not pointing my fingers at you here, but I'm pointing my fingers at members of the public, at politicians across the Caribbean. We say that we need to hold players to account. You'd do very well to remember, maybe the administration wasn't perfect, but there have been instances throughout Cricket West Indies boards to hold players, especially when it comes to fitness in the not-too-distant past. And that did not go down well with territorial boards, with some politicians. So when we say things like that, you wonder to yourself, you know, if it's just an open-ended statement. Because, okay, we hold Shimron Hetmyer to account, but then the guy on a cricket board comes out. And then the guy on his president might come out and say, how come we didn't pick this player or that player? And you see where I'm going with this. We've gotten to a point where we say hold players to account, but there was a whole CARICOM Cricket Regional Conference last week.
Yes, in Hyatt.
And insularity, fellow, was one of the most major topics that emerged out of it.
Yes, I followed that today, CARICOM Cricket Conference, with enthusiasm. I'm happy with what I heard coming out of it, Brian. But I want to see now the action. There must be action plan, and there must be a way forward on how to implement some of those great ideas that came out of that meeting. I know we talk about I spoke about how to manage fitness and accountability of players, but at the end of the day, Ghana Cricket Board and Cricket West Indies can only do so much for players. Players themselves have to get up and do stuff for themselves. Now this is your job. And if you're supposed to be good at your job, there's a level of fitness that is required of you to do that job properly. But what I find in the region is that we don't like to come down hard on people we like. We like to give fellas, as they call in Trinidad, a blight. And say, well, let him go through, and he'll get through, and then we'll come back to it. We always like coming back. And I like the Rastafari way. I don't come back. I don't look back. I go forward. And coming out of that to their meeting, I do hope that this is a sign where our cricket can go forward. The ICC is on our back door right now, so there's no looking back. It's strictly looking forward to what are the benefits and implement better systems of accountability, not only for our cricketers, but for those regional board directors. because they are at fault to what some of the faults that is happening within our cricket. And particularly, I'm seeing a lot of dark clouds over Trinidad and Tobago cricket board. And nobody is addressing that.
All right. One minute, fellow. As you mentioned that those dark clouds, I was going to ask you, what are some of the challenges that you think we're going to face going into this ICC? Because if we don't get those issues cleared out, how are our boys going to perform? How are they going to feel that backing and that support going out there? What about the teams? Which team is going to be a threat to them, to their success, you know?
But the thing is about the West Indies cricket team in the T20 World Cup have to go there and perform. They have to go and against all odds and do what is expected of them as professionals. I know it's difficult.
Of course it is.
They have to do it. There's a lot of stuff that's happening within the region over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I don't think that our cricketers should be playing those things anymore. Just focus on doing their jobs properly.
But, fellow, that's a trademark of West Indies cricket,
and
right?
They have to do what they have to do. The politicians are there to govern the country and run a seamless government. And they have to do what they have to do. If they don't do it, well, then when it comes to general elections for the politicians, the people's voices will speak. But some of our administrators in cricket has been sitting there for close to 20 years or more.
Ryan, that's a
and
good point.
We still have the same problem.
Hold on,
so
fellow.
How do we get those fixed first before we can move forward? But ICC T20 cricket is more to me than that.
Okay,
it
fellow.
It's about bringing some harmony to the region.
All right,
and then it's going to help us
stick
to
up,
move forward.
Stick a pin. Ryan has a point.
No. I agree with fellow, but what I if you look at the last two decades of administration and the challenges the West Indies Cricket Board administration has faced, and the players themselves, as fellow says, there's a lot of off-field stuff. We've won an ICC Champions Trophy. The West Indies cricket team has won two T20 World Cups. It was in the midst of all of that, those West Indies Cricket Board challenges. So the trademark of West Indies cricket, the West Indies cricket team, has been against the odds. Has been against whatever wranglings the board or the territorial or whatever challenges West Indies cricket may face in the boardroom. The players themselves have gone out on the field and have done this region yeoman service, incredibly proud, and we've won several trophies. And I'm saying again that against those odds, I will not be surprised that the West Indies cricket team can make it to the semi-finals or even the final, hopefully. I am backing the West Indies cricket team, but you asked, Philo, a very good question. You know, who are some of the teams? You look at England, you look at Australia, you look at New Zealand. Of course, India is a favourite.
It's a favourite, exactly. But then again, if we're going out against all odds and making those strides, how are we going to hold our West Indies board accountable for errors and errant behaviours behind the scenes? You know, when the team is looking for that kind of support to be out there, it's like, you know what, I don't have all the equipment home, mom and dad fighting, but I still do well in school. That's what you're telling me. That's our culture here in Trinidad anyway. We come out from broken homes, different things happen. And the same thing with the ICC, with the cricket board. We've been hearing that happening for two decades. How are we going to correct these things? We continue to blame politicians. Who is being held accountable? And our players are going out, as Ryan said, against the odds. And then when they don't do well, you have people like me who come in on the radio to say, look again. Not understanding the rhetoric that's taking place behind the scenes.
Well, coming out of that two-day conference in Trinidad and Tobago, obviously, the president of Cricket West Indies said that they will have institutional changes, the corporate governance that they're looking at, to try and bring about change within the organization. And if he's true to form and he gets the support from the board, I believe that those things will have to happen. But as you rightly said, who is held accountable at West Indies Cricket Board? Nobody knows who is held accountable at all, because we go on tours and sometimes we don't do well and you come back and everybody has their jobs. The last World Cup, we didn't get to the playoff and the status quo remained the same. So who is held accountable is CWI, but CWI is an organization that is run by a board of directors. And these directors have been there for very, very long. And you know what happens to people when they sit long in chairs? They believe that they can take the chairs home. So change has to come from within CWI. And I believe that when change happens within the organization, and it is changed for the good and the betterment, and it reflects in how we play, how the players are treated, how they behave, the whole mannerism. And if cricket is doing well in the Caribbean, as you know, and Ryan knows, the Caribbean is happy. People spend money, everybody is buoyant and jolly. There's no downtime for anything. And I believe that the T20 World Cup is going to be crucial to how we get rid of some of these ill things that are happening within the region. I think that if we go there really do well and banter and rally around West Indies cricket during this World Cup, despite the challenges from the opposition teams, which are good, we have to see ourselves as being able to beat them and lift this World Cup on June 29th. I think a lot of the stuff that is happening in the Caribbean will turn for the better, because at the end of the day, we'll lift the T20 World Cup trophy for the third time. The third time will have the most power in which to bring about changes.
Ryan, do you have any idea what group we're playing in, fellow? What group are we in for this T20 2024?
Well, our first two games are in Guyana. We are playing against Oman. I can't remember the other's name, but we have two games in Guyana, a game in St. Lucia, and a game in Trinidad. Our biggest challenge is going to be against New Zealand, although I really believe, too, that Afghanistan is going to give us some trouble because they have been playing good cricket. And my fear is that a lot of our players are in the IPL but are not getting game time, as they call it now. A lot of them are sitting on the benches. We only have a few players who are playing consistently.
So our first
game... that is my fear.
Okay, so our first game will be against Oman, is it?
No, so yes. We're in Group C with Uganda.
Group C.
Uganda.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea. New
Namibia,
Zealand.
And
Afghanistan.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm checking.
We're playing Papua New Guinea, Uganda, New Zealand, Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, right.
Yes.
So that's a group that we should, in all reality, you know, all things being equal, we should be able to emerge from. Of course, you take nothing for granted, and a lot of these teams, especially the associate member teams, are very hungry. And we've seen already, you know, when we take things for granted and become complacent, we missed out on the last 50
so then, World Cup. What team would you say would be a strong team, fellow, in this group that we are in here?
New Zealand is going to be our biggest challenge, but we cannot underestimate Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is huge.
We cannot underestimate Afghanistan, because Papua New Guinea and Uganda, we should get over those two teams quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as Rand knows and you know, every game starts at zero. And we don't know what type of surfaces we are going to get in Guyana, St. Lucia, and Trinidad and Tobago, because most of the surfaces have been relayed. And there wouldn't be any cricket on them, apparently, from what I'm hearing, until the World Cup starts. So we're going into a tournament not knowing our surfaces. We know the grounds, but not knowing what type of surfaces that we're going to play on. And if we're looking at the IPL, we're seeing totals in excess of 200. So if there's a benchmark, 200 runs is a benchmark for T20 cricket, particularly coming out of the IPL this year. Living in the Caribbean on smaller grounds, we're expecting the benchmark to be 200 runs. If you defend under 200 runs of England, congratulations to you. But we cannot underestimate any of these teams. This is a World Cup. This is the biggest T20 tournament in the world, and everybody is going to come gunning, looking to win. And West Indies are playing at home, and they have to up their A game to beat teams. And teams will only fear West Indies if we beat the teams that we are supposed to beat and beat them badly. So we play Papua New Guinea. We're supposed to beat Papua New Guinea convincingly. We're supposed to play Uganda. We beat Uganda convincingly. And then we move to play New Zealand. We come there, we come over to Trinidad, to St. Lucia with confidence, knowing that we can get over New Zealand because we have two victories behind us. That's the other teams we're playing as well. But we have to focus on our road to the Super 8s and then into the semifinals and finals. We need to chart our road. And that is the way we do it. We get to Afghanistan. You know what? They're going to throw at us at Suruba, and we're looking to beat them as well. So we have to look to win matches convincingly to give ourselves the power and the pressure to put on the other teams, and the fear as well from the other sides, knowing that we are winning. Because once West Indies win matches, the other teams are going to be fearful. But it's how we win, and we have to win convincingly in order to put pressure on the other teams in our zone and the teams that we have to come up against. But we can do it. But it's going to call for a massive effort. It's not going to be a walkover and die. Every game is going to be a pressure game because we're playing at home. And there's this great expectation that we're going to lift that World Cup.
My whole thing about it is, if some of our players have been playing continuously over the last few months, and the ones that have been dormant, how are they going to come together now? What were their training like? You know, were they able to synchronize well for these games going forward? This is my concern, because they have players that played with some of these very players they're going up against in the World Cup here in various clubs, right? So they have had the experience and exposure of international cricket. Now you're bringing in other players to match with them. they're going to be looking at them as they're going to be starstruck. Have we addressed those issues with players putting the pressure? I am going out there with Ryan. I'm telling myself, Ryan is a very good journalist. I'm putting all the pressure on Ryan, and I'm not being that support system for him because I'm telling myself he's going to cover it. Is that not the same atmosphere with players when they get out there in an international field? I see you laughing because I see it happen with World Cup. I see it happen with when we went to Germany. So I am just asking you, how are we dealing with those issues? How are we treating with it?
Well, it comes down to management, how prepared and how fair the management of that team will be, and obviously the discussions that they'll be having before the competition. Mm-hmm. Head coach Darren Sammy said that there'll be a camp in Antigua, obviously where the high performance center is, and I hope that all these issues will be addressed, because when you look at it and you're playing in the World Cup, I know a lot of our players in the IPL and most of the players of the World Cup squads are up there, but a lot of them will be in awe. If we can pull one of our players out from that, we can look at Jamar Joseph, who's only played 2 test matches but was a success in Australia,
mm-hmm.
played 1 IPL game, and he hasn't played another game since then. Obviously, if he's in the West Indies World Cup squad. So when he come up to play against a team like England, or if we do get to play England, he might be overawed by the whole presence of being at a World Cup and playing against England. But this is where the management comes in to calm him, to get him to understand it's all about at that level. At the international level, you'll come up against other international players who have been your teammates and other franchises. But when you come back to cricket, West Indies and West Indies cricket, they're the enemy. And you got to beat them. You got to bowl serious at them. It's not laughing. You laugh at the end of the game, but it's a serious game and you play for West Indies. So the focus when they come back has to be, I'm playing for West Indies and I want to put in the effort that I put in for my franchise. I want to put in a bit more effort playing for West Indies. It's my nation. And my nation must come before franchise. So the efforts for the nation must be bigger and greater. And the rewards must be bigger and greater. So that people, because you're now playing for people of that diaspora, people, the former West Indies cricketers who have never gotten a chance to play in a T20 game or a T20 World Cup, to give them a bit more muscle to say, yes, I am a member of West Indies cricket, or playing West Indies cricket, and I feel proud because of what these cricketers have done. And they've done something that we all should lift them up and make them proud, so we can try to break down some of these barriers that are being formed within the Caribbean. So it's greater than just cricket. Cricket is just, we play cricket on the field of player in color code or white clothing, but cricket carries a greater value within the region and the diaspora. And I have not even spoken about the diaspora and this T20. A lot of people from the diaspora are looking forward to T20 cricket and looking forward to West Indies doing well. Because once they're doing well, it gives them a sense of purpose. They walk with their head high. They feel, yes, I belong to the system because we are winning. And you're only recognized in the world by being a winner. And that is what West Indies cricket is, and West Indies cricket means to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it's not only cricket we're dealing with. We're dealing with the social fabric of people, and the emotions and the psychological well-being when we start to do well in this cricket. So this T20 World Cup is more than cricket to me.
Yeah, I want to agree with Philo, but I want to take it a step further. When he mentioned the management, the management is going to be so key in this World Cup. You could do so much good on the field, but Philo mentioned something very crucial that a lot of people don't seem to think about when you're supporting a cricket team. And this is where India and Australia are so good. Charting your way through the tournament, Davey. Mm-hmm. It's a long tournament.
It is. It's an entire month.
Yeah, and you've got, what, 4 group games?
4 group games.
Right, 4 group games.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself requires plotting and planning. You can't just look at the New Zealand game or the Afghanistan game without getting over Uganda.
Yeah.
And it's so important what Philo is saying, because the management, Darren Sammy, having won 2 World Cups as a captain, 2 T20 World Cups as a captain. For me, I know a lot of people have concern about him as coach. I think it's actually good to have someone who has actually won 2 World Cups leading the team. I think it can redound to the benefit of the team.
I don't want to cut you, but I disagree.
Why?
Because of the fact that, what coaching training do you have? How well are you in terms of team management? managing an entire team. You may be a good batsman, a good bowler, a good player, but that doesn't mean that you have coaching skills. And we tend to want to take persons that are successful on the field and put them in a managerial position.
Particularly with regards to his management skills, you'd do well to remember that it was his management skills that were lauded while he was T20 World Cup, T20 captain of the West Indies team, as opposed to his skills. In fact, his skills as a batsman and as a bowler and as an all-rounder, those were under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
People were very critical and skeptical about those
issues. Those facets of his game. Okay.
His management of the team is what was really credited for winning West Indies. So his ability to bring this group of players, the two groups of players he would have won the World Cups with, to bring those players towards one common goal. That was Darren Sammy's strength.
Okay.
That's what he was credited with. This is not me saying this. These are the experts like Philo and Michael Holding and Ian Bishop. Those are the guys saying that. Those are not my words.
Mm-hmm. Philo is concurring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I believe, and I'm always open to being wrong and corrected, but that's where I think that someone like him, the management that Philo speaks of, that's where I think someone like him, having the experience of 1-2 T20 World Cups, can plot and plan his way through the group stages into the Super 8s, hopefully into the semis, and you know, and that cannot be underestimated. That off-field aspect, you professionals call it, that off-field aspect, I think that can't be underestimated.
Philo?
Yeah, I think that Sammy has good management skills. I am one who was against Sammy getting the job because he has no qualifications as a coach level. And I agree with you. And Prime Minister Mia Motley told Dr. Shallow, the president of Cricket West Indies, that he should not sit in any meetings or any committees to appoint anyone to West Indies cricket. And I agree with her, because that should have been done by an independent body. But he has the job. He has the job, and he's going to be there for, it's about 3 or 4 years. He has the job for. But because we like to, as you rightly said, a fellow do well on the field, so we give him something in cricket. But where are the other skills? And coaching nowadays, you have to have that edge psychologically, because you have to manage players with a lot of different attitudes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Players who might come into the T20 World Cup with a personal problem. And you might be saying as a coach, but I'm finding that this guy is not doing what he's supposed to do. He's looking different. He's hitting the ball different. So there might be all different types of issues. But from a psychological point of view, you have to know. And he has captained. He has won 2 World Cups. So those are 2 ticks in the right boxes. He now has to bring his captaincy away from that squad. And what he has to rear now is the management side of the captaincy. Captaincy is going to be done by Ralph Mumpowell. And he now, as the head coach, he has to bring now the management side of the captaincy into coaching and get those players to understand the road. There's a road that he has to chart, and I believe he started that road already, to where he expects the West Indies T20 World Cup squad to go, and that road will lead them to Kensington Oval on June 29th. But you just don't walk down the road to get to June 29th to be at Kensington. You have a series of hurdles. And your first hurdle starts, and your first 2 hurdles are going to be in Guyana. And you got to get over those hurdles. And the deeper you go, it requires more focus and concentration, because then it becomes physical. It gets harder physically, mentally it gets harder, because the closer you get to the 29th, the harder it will be, because then when you get to the 29th, the 2 hardest teams will be playing in the final. And then the pressure is always going to be there. The expectations are going to be there. How do you manage those players to go on to a field in a World Cup final for the first time?
That's the question I was
thinking
about.
There's something called nerves.
Yeah.
A fellow he might talk big in front of a microphone, but deep down inside his belly trembling. So you need to get all those things out and get players to understand you just concentrate on your skill. And as you know, if you do something well, all you want to do is to get it to click. And once you click, you're on the road. Positions, situations, it doesn't matter. You know what you're doing. And that is what he needs to do with those players. He needs to get those players to understand you're here to play cricket, T20 cricket. You're the best 15 players that we've selected in the region to represent West Indies in this competition. You know your individual skills. Go out there and play your individual skills to a team setting and bring victory to the team and the people of the West Indies. And yes, that's going to be crucial.
Ryan, what do you think about our chances are in terms of moving past the group stage? I mean, I am very optimistic about the whole situation. I don't want to come across very, you know, too pessimist, but, you know, I have concerns based on what is happening behind the scenes with the management. Of course, some of these star-struck players, these players who have never been in an international field such as this, you know, what do you think about the odds are against us? What do you think our chances are?
I think we all things being equal, we should make it past the group stage of the tournament. But again, you don't want to take anything for granted. You don't want to become complacent. And, you know, to Philo's point, there is no room for complacency at a World Cup. Even if you are facing Papua New Guinea in the semi-finals for a spot in the final, there is no room for complacency. However, your question is a deep one in the sense that a lot of people would be feeling a sense of trepidation. Which West Indies team shows up on the day? Is it the West Indies team that is ready to put and focused on a professional performance? Or is it a West Indies team which head is off the field while they're playing on the field of play? And that used to be Pakistan.
Not anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, which West Indies, it all depends on, you know, they say that how when West Indies shows up, nobody can beat them on the day. It depends on which West Indies team decides to show up.
One of the things I noticed, Philo, and I don't know if you can speak like to this, is that when the opening batsman hit the field, if for some reason there is a downfall or early defeat in one of those batsmen, it seems to have a domino effect. Isn't that in the world of cricket, both you and Ryan can answer this very quickly, we have about 5 minutes again, in the world of cricket, and you send your openers, what is the reason behind putting a particular batsman in the on the field of play first, second, third, even up to the fourth position? I think that there was a time where Brian Lara would have been batting in third and fourth position rather than being an opener. So what is the what is the thought process in getting these alignments in? Because for me, looking at West Indies cricket on a whole, it seems as though once those openers fall within 10, 15 runs or whatever it is, it seems to have a domino effect with the other batsmen coming down in the later half. Can you explain this process quickly?
But the thing about opening batting is that the two players who go to open batting, they have to have symmetry. They have to, you know, opposites attract. They have to make sure that they understand each other. Openers' goal is to give the team a good start. Now, we're looking at T20 cricket. T20 cricket is a power play of the first five overs. Most teams are looking to get to 60 runs.
Let's say you lose the opener in the
second over. The guy who's coming at number three, he has to understand his role. To me, the number three batter in a cricket team is be the best batter. But he has to have the common sense to understand his role, and then he has to know this thing called game awareness and the situation in which you go to the crease when you're at the crease of your team. So he has to be aware, and then game situation, team situation. He has to be cognizant of those things. And he has to be the one who has to rebuild with the other opener. But if the two openers go hard and you don't get what you're looking for in five overs and you're pushed back by losing two wickets, then the number three and four, they have to consolidate and try to build a partnership, but still try to keep their wickets in hand. And you try to the number three and four batter to bat as deep as possible into the 20 to leave room for the guys with a muscle, if possible, to come in and muscle the ball around the park. Because there's always going to be a period in T20 cricket where you can have the fun, you know, guys with the muscle, like the Russells and the Pooras and the Powers and the Shepherds will come in. But one, two, three, and four are very, very crucial to getting that T20 start that is important to give you a big launch at the back end of the innings. So the openers have to go out there and be unsung. We only have picked two openers in Johnson Charles and Brandon King. Brandon King is coming off an injury, but we don't know what type of injury, which is another clown. We would like clarity about his injury. So if something happens, we say, oh, well, we know. But if you don't know something happens, we're going to say that we take an injured man. So I hope that Brandon King is fully fit. I mean, he gets to Guyana and he executes perfectly at Johnson Charles. They match as a unit. It's good chemistry and camaraderie. And we can get starts that we want. This is a World Cup. There isn't a lot of room for failure. If you fail early, you're going to find yourself wanted in the back end. You cannot catch up in this cricket. It is not a portion of tips.
Wow.
One of the first things... Our squad has to hit the ground running and ready for this World Cup.
Well, Ryan, in conclusion, one of the first things I picked up from Philo's response just now was the fact that in that first five overs, we must hit 60 runs. So I guess it's a calculation game you're playing here. It's like playing chess. I mean, every play on that board is strategically. I mean, you can checkmate someone in four moves. You know, you have the four-move checkmate, the six-move. You know, it is calculated. A chess master will tell you from the start of the game how many moves later. So you have now brought something to light. 60 runs. We are shooting for that. I mean, is that a stretch in five overs?
No, unfortunately, that is how these teams are planning as we speak. They're probably in their camps, Australia, England, India, South Africa, and they are planning just as Philo is saying. They want this. These are the targets. We want to be 60, maybe for two by the end of the power play. We want to be 100 for three by the end of 10 overs. We want to go hard so we get to 200 by the end of 20 overs. They're plotting. I wouldn't be surprised if they're plotting over by over, ball by ball. It's just the game of cricket. You've compared it to chess, and it's essentially that's what it's become. It's just so well managed and orchestrated off the field of play. That's Philo Wallis was talking about the management of the game. It's what he's saying there is not undervaluing or underestimating. That's literally the management of the game. It's about 50% off the field, and then the players execute the other 50%.
Well, guys, I want to tell you all thank you so much for a riveting conversation here for the last 25 minutes. I no doubt would have learned quite a lot. You're still, you know, have me in a situation where, yeah, West Indies batting, okay. You know, I'm going to pay more attention now. I'm going to look a little more in detail to what is happening on the field, especially with the opening batsman recognizing addition and fourth. But one of these most salient points I will take away is that your opening batsmen may not be the strongest, but they are the ones that are very much in sync with each other, opposite attracts. So they understand the work that they need to put in, and they're there for it. And Ryan,
we must,
you know,
put Philo Wallis on the spot, though. We must ask him, who does he think will win the World Cup?
You know, don't tell me West Indies. That's a very bad.
No. He has that option as well.
Let me hear you.
But who do you think will win the World Cup?
But I can only say West Indies.
I know that. I mean, if we miss,
I follow West Indies cricket deeply. I'm involved in West Indies cricket on arm's length, and I feel like once they're out there and they're prepared properly and focused, I think that the guys will win this World Cup and bring pride and joy back to our region.
I look forward to it.
My heart says West Indies, my head says somewhere else, but I'll stick with my heart every single day of the week.
The heart always wins, even when you're going behind a woman. You know, your head telling you, run from that woman, but your heart saying, oh gosh, come by her.
Strangely enough, West Indies cricketers hurt me more than women.
Philo, you heard it. So I am not the only one, all right? You know, I used to think, you know, as a child growing up, you know, carry me by the West Indies cricket, them don't beat nobody, but if you carry me by mommy, I will get a licking. You know, we want to change the narrative when it comes to that. Hey, West Indies beating everybody. I mean, two World Cups, that's a stretch. But you know what? This could be our third. So I will be optimistic based on this conversation that we had. I would look to the games. I would most definitely be going there. Ryan will be there. We there. Philo, we there. Thank you so much.
Be there. All right. Meeting. Okay.
Take All right. care. Ryan, of course, it's been a pleasure. It's always good when you come into the studio and chat with me. You know, always bright smiles and stuff like that. Giving me hope. I was saying by West Indies cricket, is it T20 we good with? But you see West Indies as a team coming together, I feel that now.
Yeah, listen, I just want to end by saying this. And this is a little bit off the field of play, because a lot of people focus on what's happening on the field of play.
Right.
But West Indies cricket to a lot of us is more than just 11 players playing on the field of play. Especially to those generations that have passed, it's a binding element of the Caribbean. In some ways, well, it is, you know, it brings us. It's a historical tradition for us, much like other traditions in our lives. It's a really important part of our history. For many of us, it's part of our culture that we've inherited.
Mm-hmm.
And West Indies cricket means much more than just winning or losing. You know,
it is. You're correct.
Yeah, and that Davey is something that when you think about it like that, and when you feel like that, you know, it's whether you win or lose, you get up the next morning and you'll support the team anyway.
Again, you start all over,
because it's much deeper than just the result.
So I say to Carib, and we in the stands. All right, thank you very much, Ryan.
Appreciate it, Davey.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.